Dear God, send your Holy Spirit and illuminate your word. May we be touched by it this morning so that when we leave this place, the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. For us Methodists, sometimes we don't know what to do with the Holy Spirit. Other denominations, other tribes of Christianity have no problem with embracing the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we just don't know what to do. Many, many, many years ago, I was an industrial engineer doing an engineering project in rural Tennessee, halfway between Nashville and Memphis on the Tennessee River. I was doing timescale studies and everything dealing with engineering of this cutting room. There was an individual who worked in that cutting room, and he was trying to find out some things about me, and I was living in a motel, a strip motel on the side of the road. It was a very nice, the cleanest motel room I've ever stayed, but it did not have a telephone, and this was in the days before cell phones. If you wanted to talk on the phone, you had to use the pay phone outside. But it was a clean place, and I ate every meal out. It was not a lot of fun after about a week, and you've already eaten at the three places six times. And so this guy was asking me, do you like country food? I said, yeah. I was raised in the country. I like good country food. And he said, well, I'm going to invite you to come to our house. Let me get it approved with the boss. And so about 2 to 3 days later, I went out to his house to have dinner. Now, he informed me. He said, I hope you don't mind, but we say the blessing before we eat. If you've got a problem with that, you might not want to be there, but you're invited. I said, I say the blessing before I eat too. So we're in good company. I go out there. We have a nice time. We sit down for dinner, or supper, as they called it. I was sitting across from his wife. My friend was to the left. His daughter was to the right. And he says, let's pray. And he begins to pray. And then with my head bowed and my eyes closed, I hear this strange sound. It sounded kind of like mumbling, but it sounded like a language. I wasn't sure what it was. I'd never heard anybody speak in tongues. I really wanted to see what was going on because I didn't have a clue. And as soon as he said amen, I was making sure. I didn't know what to think of someone speaking in tongues because I'd never seen anybody do it or heard anybody do it. It was this Methodist thing going on in me where I was kind of, I don't know what that was, but I'm not so sure about it, but supper was good. I tried to get invited back. When we start looking at the Pentecost, that first Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, where Jesus was raised from the dead on that first day after the Passover, first day of the week, we move to Pentecost, and this strange thing happens. It's recorded in Acts 2. They're in this upper room. Then these tongues of fire start coming down on these apostles. And the next thing you know, there's a commotion, and people start gathering around, and they start speaking in the tongues of those who have come from far and wide, and they hear in their own language. And then people think these folks are drunk. And they say, well, no, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. We usually wait till 4 or 5. But it's this thing where the people are, and then Peter speaks. And all these people come to accept Jesus Christ. It's a basic sermon about the life, ministry, the death, and resurrection of Jesus. And they accept Christ. There is this commotion going on, and we're just a little bit better than a Presbyterian. This commotion is something we have a little trouble with when we start thinking about what does the Holy Spirit do for us? And so we start thinking about that. I like to begin where Jesus tells us about the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's in John 14, 15, and 16. Hear what Jesus says. I'm going to read some selected verses from these chapters. Beginning the 14th chapter, the 15th verse. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will give you, teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. Now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where am I going? Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away, because unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. John is saying, writing that Jesus says, and Jesus says, they are sending another comforter, another one. Jesus is the original comforter, advocate. And Jesus is saying, I must go so this other comforter can come. Another comforter. He was going to do what Jesus was doing. The interesting part of Christ in being both human and divine is that when he lowered himself to being human on this earth, he is confined by space and time. With the gift of the Holy Spirit, he is not confined by space or time. Praise God. If you think about the life of Christ, he basically stayed in the Holy Land, in Israel. Early on in his life, he was in Egypt. He maybe moved up a little further, but pretty much in Galilee and Jerusalem and back and forth, confined there. But the Holy Spirit comes to live with us and in us. Now, the beauty, one of the beautiful things about this for me is that it says, or Jesus says, the Holy Spirit is going to come to convict you of sin. That relieved a lot of pressure for me. Because for the longest time, I heard preachers preach about telling their people about all their sinfulness and how bad they were. If you don't change your ways, you're going somewhere. And you aren't going to like it. And then I read John, and he says, I don't have to do that. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict all of us of our sinfulness. And the Holy Spirit convicts me of a lot of sinfulness. And hopefully convicts you of sinfulness. It's a wonderful thing that the Holy Spirit does. An advocate who comforts us, and one of the greatest gifts gives us peace. Jesus says, I give you peace. My peace I give to you, but not as the world gives. The world gives in the days of Jesus was Pax Romanos, the absence of war. Shalom is more than that. It's the redemption of that which is broken. It's more than just the absence of. It is the presence of something. And when you stop and think about the life of Jesus, there wasn't a whole lot of peace going on around him. If you think, just think for about the life of Jesus and the stories of Jesus that we know. If you think about Christmas, everything went exactly the way Mary and Joseph wanted it to happen. They made the reservation in Bethlehem to have a place to stay. And when they got there, the room was made up for them already in that nice Hilton. No. There was no room in the inn. They had to find a cave or someplace for Jesus to be born. And no sooner than that, Herod's trying to kill all the innocents. They leave to go to Egypt. Years later, when he starts his ministry, he goes to his hometown synagogue and begins to preach. And they receive him so much until they figure out who he belonged to. And then they threw him out. Everywhere he went, there was people talking against him, persecuting him, saying bad things about him, saying he was wrong and everything else to go. He does something kind to somebody on the Sabbath and he is an infidel. He is everything, everywhere he turns, somebody is persecuting him. And in the midst of all that, on the cross, when all those things were going on, as they're gambling for his clothes, what does he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. In the midst of all of that, he is able to have a peace. And that peace that Jesus possessed, he gives to us through the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. That in the midst of all that goes on in our life, the conflict, the confusion, all of that, one of the most beautiful gifts that God can, that the Holy Spirit gives us, is a peace. A peace. I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit works in so many ways that we're not aware of them. We want to think that the Holy Spirit only works in big ways. We want to think it looks like Pentecost when thousands of people come to know Jesus. We want to think that it's people speaking in tongues. That's the way it is. But I'm convinced that Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, works in the still small voice of all of us. Being able and willing to listen, to see, to hear the needs of people, and then responding when the Holy Spirit pushes us and we don't resist. This past week, early this week, I got an email from Brian Crabtree. Brian, over the last year, he's been getting in shape. He wants to walk across Spain, but he had this desire to do something else, and he wants to walk from where he lives here to Ringgold, where he was born, which seems like no big deal 50 years ago when there were no cars, but there's a lot of cars between here and there. It's not really safe sometimes. He's even walking up Roswell Road, which gave me the heebie-jeebies, but that's what he's doing. Every day he's walking about 10 miles, the most about 20 miles. He called me or emailed me and said, I would like to come to the church and pray at the chancel, and I'd like for you to bless me. And so he and Mary came, and we prayed over them. He's outside Waleska now. He's going to get there Tuesday. But as he was talking about that and we prayed, he said, you won't believe what was in the upper room today. In the upper room that day, the day he was leaving, was a scripture from Isaiah 40. And it said, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. And when he said it, it was like, God did that for me. The Holy Spirit did that for me so that I might have comfort, courage for what he's about to do. And he has claimed that all the way. And this morning about 9 o'clock when I had texted him, he had already walked 10 miles for that day. The Holy Spirit works in silence, in the quiet of our lives, comforting us, being an advocate for us in so many ways. 11 days ago, I think, no, 13 days ago, I was doing a funeral in Augusta. Some of you have heard the story of me telling it, 43 different versions of it, but this is the version that's going to be told today. I was doing officiating a funeral. June takes our car, her Odyssey, and goes shopping or something, and then she comes back, puts the car in line. I'm at the funeral home, do the visitation. I do the funeral service. We walk out to the car to get processed to the cemetery, and the car will not crank. It's a bad feeling when there's about 5 cars of pallbearers behind your car that are not going anywhere or something, so I had to tell them to go around. I had to hitch a ride with a funeral director, somewhat embarrassing. June stayed back and was trying to take care of us getting the car towed somewhere to be fixed or whatever, and nothing was going right for her as I was at the cemetery doing that part of the service. We get back, and June's saying this and that. They won't let us ride with them if we find a tow truck to the dealership. And I'm thinking, I got to get back to Dunwoody. I got to get back to Dunwoody. I cannot spend another night in Augusta. I have work to do for the good people of Kingswood. They're our car. And there's a car on the other side. And this lady drives in, lets her daughter out of the car, and she gets into her car. And the lady sees us. She's a friend of ours. And she said, y'all having problems? I said, well, yeah, we are. Our car won't crank. We can't get it towed. It seems like we're having trouble getting towed. The next person who could come pick it up is 3 hours away. I need a ride. I need to get a rental car. And she said, you can't rent a car. That's too expensive. Well, I got to get back to Dunwoody. And this lady says, you can have my car. Kenley, let me put this stuff in your car. And she immediately gets all the stuff out of her car, puts it in her daughter's car. And it was not a 1964 Rambler. It was a Lexus SUV, late model, the big model. And I was overcome. I just needed a way to get back to a car rental place. A car rental place. That's all I asked for. And the more I have thought about it, it was more than that. Because I'm convinced the Holy Spirit was working through her. I truly do. Because she gave to me what God gives to all of us. Amazing grace. Unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. I was asking him for a ride to a car rental place. And she gives me a car and says, bring it back when you can. Do not rush. I tried to keep it longer than 10 days, but I couldn't. But what it also did was that this act of kindness was more than that, because it relieved stress. In the midst of not knowing, I had peace. Don't understand it, can't explain it, But I'm convinced the Holy Spirit worked through her to tell me something I needed to hear. And I was the recipient of this wonderful act of obedience for her. And it just profoundly affected me as a follower of Jesus Christ, what we all need to be doing. Is allowing people to experience the grace of Jesus. That was good. So then, last night I did a wedding over there. This couple, and the couple who were married, they planned 3 weddings in the last year. They planned a wedding, COVID canceled it. They planned a second wedding, very small, so that they could have the wedding and the couple could be married. And then they planned a third wedding, which I helped officiate the renewing of their vows. And the people who were included meant something to the family. And I'm close to the bride's family. The mother of the bride, well, brother, mother and father of the bride are both doctors. When the mother, they graduated from med school, got married, moved back to our hometown. She gets pregnant. Baby is about a year old, and she's diagnosed with breast cancer. Bad diagnosis. She takes charge of her care. She wants a holistic approach to this cure, the healing of her. And so everything that goes into her mind is nothing but positive. She's reading her Bible. She's praying. She's doing all the things she's supposed to do. The things she's eating are the things, healthy diet. She has people who pray over her, and they pray over her. And she has mastectomy and chemo and radiation and all that stuff, and she's okay. She's cancer-free. Her husband and I are in an accountability group. And about 4 years later, 4 and a half or whatever years later, he comes to this accountability group and he says, I think it was on a Friday, he said, this coming Friday, my wife will be cancer-free for 5 years. And we were praising God. He was weeping because he didn't know if he was going to be raising a baby by himself. There's so many things, just uncertainty. And we prayed over him, and we cried. All of us cried, and we were praising God. So on Friday, when we left the place, I had this idea of making a banner. I'm just like y'all. I'm good for nothing. I was not a pastor. I wasn't getting paid to do anything. I was just a friend of these people. And so I came up with the idea of making a banner to put outside their breakfast room window. And so I made it, and I put it up Thursday night, 11 or 12 o'clock. I can't remember. It was dark, and they had gone to bed. It's a wonder I didn't wake up the dog or somebody. But I put it up, and the banner said, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Congratulations on 5 years of being cancer-free. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And so that's the thing she saw when she woke up on that morning. So last night, I see her, and she comes and hugs me. And she said, that small act changed her. Small act of kindness, 26, 27 years later, she said, you will never know what that meant to me. Because it gave her peace. It gave her an appreciation. The Holy Spirit moving in the people's lives for them to hear what they need to hear. We're supposed to testify to the power of God, the love of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit working within us. It doesn't take hard things and big things to do that in the lives of other people. I'm convinced if we open our eyes, if we open our ears, and we look around and hear the pain in people's lives and respond with the grace and love of Jesus, people will see the fruit of the Spirit within us. The love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control, gentleness. And the world will be changed. People will talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. It won't look like we think it might look if you read 2 Acts 2, but it'll be just as powerful in the lives of other people. May we all be willing to listen, to see, to hear, and respond in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for the prodding of your Spirit, the gift of your Spirit. May we be willing to allow the Spirit to convict us when we fail you, when we do the things we shouldn't do, and when we don't do the things we ought to do. But help us to be instruments of your love, your grace, and your mercy, so your children, all your children, can experience the Spirit of God in their life. Amen.